Good evening and a very warm welcome to church on this very cold evening. And as we gather together, we pray that God will be with us and bless us. And a big welcome to you if you're watching online as well. And as we meet together, we pray that you too will be blessed by the Spirit. Now tonight we are thinking about the Spirit's work in the Nativity. Obviously we think a lot of Jesus and God the Father, who so graciously sent Jesus for our benefit. And tonight John's going to be leading us through where the Spirit's role in the Nativity as well. Just one quick announcement for you. Wednesday morning, Christmas morning at 10:30, we have a service. So do come along, do bring friends and family along as well, if you get the opportunity as well. So we're going to start with a carol, and we're going to sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful, Joyful and Triumphant." So do stand when the music starts. Before we read. Our Father God, as we come for this time of worship, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have. We pray that it won't be one that just passes us by and forgotten, but we pray, Lord, that this will be a really special evening. And as we sit here tired at the end of a busy year, we pray, Lord, for minds that will understand what's being said, hearts ready to receive what you will say to us. Lord, help us to be fully engaged and to enjoy being in your presence once again. So bless us each then, Lord, with a soft heart, and we pray that we might know the power of your Spirit with us, teaching us and guiding us through your word this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you'd like to open your Bibles with me, we're going to be looking in the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 1. And in the church Bibles, that's page 807. We're going to be reading for you chapter 1 and starting at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. We've got another reading in a bit, but we're going to sing again. And we're going to sing, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Let's stand and sing together. Well, if you'd like to open your Bibles again, we're going to turn to Luke's Gospel this time. The Gospel according to Luke in chapter 2. And we're going to be reading a passage starting in verse 25. That's page 857 in the church Bibles. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marvelled what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword that will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Well, John will be going through those various passages a little bit later, but let's turn our hearts to prayer now. Our great and heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that we have this opportunity to worship you, and we pray, Lord, for hearts that will do just that. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and for the love that you show to this sinful world. And as we head towards Christmas Day, we can't help but have our minds and hearts turned towards the sending of your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Our Saviour, the one who gives us hope of eternal life through his death and resurrection. And Father, we thank you so much, because without you, without the willingness and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, we could never be at one with you. We thank you for your reconciling love, for your mercy and grace towards sinners who most certainly didn't deserve any of your mercy at all. So Lord, we are completely dependent upon you for our salvation. We thank you that you did the complete work. There's nothing left for us to pay. There is no work that we need to do. We are set free through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you this evening for who you are, for the love that you show, the fact that you are love itself, and all love stems from you. And so, Father, we pray tonight that our hearts will be filled with that love, and that, Lord, we might be able to worship you in a way that will be suitable and befitting of a holy God. And we thank you that you sent Jesus so that we could be at one with you, that, Lord, we could be brought into your family. And we give thanks, because we'd never have got there otherwise. And so, Father, as we turn our hearts then to these passages, we pray this evening that you will help John as he opens up your word, that, Lord, you will help him to say the things that need to be said, that through him we will hear your voice spoken, and that it will do us good, and we will be encouraged and blessed by the work of the Spirit in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that at this time of year we will be mindful of those who are less fortunate than us, that though there are people, as James prayed this morning, that will be on their own at Christmas, and those that are suffering in many different ways. And Lord, we commit them to you. We pray for a loving spirit in our heart to share and be open with all the things that we have. Lord, everything that we have from you is a gift. And we pray that we won't be selfish with those gifts, but that, Lord, we'll be able to share and bless others with the things that you have blessed us with. We pray, Lord, that you will give us a big heart for others and that, Lord, we will love our neighbour as ourselves, as you have commanded. And as we head into Christmas, we don't want to be forgetful of the joy that is in our hearts because of what Jesus has done. So we pray, Lord, that you'll really ignite that flame in our heart, that we will know and be so thankful for the real reason why we are celebrating at all this year. And Father, as we come on this yet another Sunday, the week seems to have flown by through this year, and so much has happened to all of us. And Lord, in the various pathways that we walked, we've had, no doubt we've all had ups and downs, and those things that have been difficult for us, but also times of great joy and gladness. And we thank you, Lord, that you've been with us every step of the way as you have promised us. Not that it's always been easy, but that, Lord, you've always been there. Lord, you haven't promised to take us out of hard times, but you've promised to help us through them. And we depend upon your goodness and kindness yet again as we head into a new year. But Lord, we want to acknowledge all that you have done for us this year, and we praise you that you are the faithful promise keeper that you say that you are. Help us, Lord, to trust you as we go into a new year. We're very thankful that we don't know what's ahead of us in the coming year. And Lord, sometimes we dread to think, but we thank you that in your wisdom you reveal to us one day at a time. And we pray that you will give us grace and strength for every new day that's ahead of us. Help us to never take a day for granted. Lord, we don't know when the appointed time for each one of us is to die, but we pray, Lord, that the most important thing will be that we are ready to meet you. And we thank you that through Jesus we have a hope that, Lord, our sins won't condemn us, but we will have on that the robe of righteousness prepared by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray, Lord, that anyone here this evening that's not accepted Jesus into their life will do so, that, Lord, their heart will be opened, and that they'll be ready to take up their cross, to deny themselves and follow after you. We pray, Lord, that this place might be a place of real blessing. We thank you for all the blessings that have been received this year through the various ministries going out from Forest Fold. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that have been had. And as we go into a new year, Lord, we look to you for help and for guidance in every matter. We pray, Lord, that you'll provide all the resources that we need as a church, both in people and finance and in everything else. We pray, Lord, that we won't just be keen to be built up in number, but that, Lord, you might deepen the work in our hearts, and we might be built up in faith, and that, Lord, we might be a bright shining light for you. Help us to keep our eyes fixed upon you. Give us strength, Lord, when we serve. Sometimes it can be so exhausting, but we thank you that, Lord, we have the perfect master. Help us to keep our eyes upon you when we're doing it, and Lord, we can so easily lose sight of why we're doing things, but help us to keep you at the centre of all that we do, both when we're serving here and, Lord, when we're walking out in our day-to-day life, whatever it is, whether we're at work or home and looking after family, wherever it might be. Help us to keep Christ at the centre of our lives. And Lord, we must confess that we get so lost in the detail and the tasks that are in front of us, and Lord, we want to give our all in everything we do. But please, Lord, keep yourself at the very centre of it. Forgive us when we don't. But Lord, we pray that through it you will get glory, honour and praise, for you deserve it. Father, we pray for those who would love to be here but can't be. We pray, Lord, that those that may be suffering with various illnesses of different kinds will be comforted, that your spirit will be with them and blessing them and encouraging them. We pray, Lord, for healing on those who are sick. Lord, we pray for those that feel lonely to be comforted. We thank you, Lord, that you are an all-sufficient God, and that you know our needs and our cares and our worries, and you are able to provide everything that we need. So help keep us rooted in you, Lord, faithful to the end. Build us up and make us useful in your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, that we will continue to as a church, Lord, we will be keen to help others come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to point them to Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing resting on us, but it all depends on Jesus, that the work is all yours. Help us just to faithfully sow the seed as we get opportunity, and to do so with a full, happy, joyful heart. Lord, we thank you so much for all the opportunities that we have, and Lord, we thank you for the encouragements that we've had this year. For people starting church, we thank you for them. Lord, for most recently, Dan being able to tell us his testimony, and with a baptism ahead of us early next year, if it be your will, Lord, we thank you so much for that. Help us to pray on for others. Lord, there's room in your kingdom for more, and we pray that that will continue, and that, Lord, we will be helpful in your kingdom. So please help us then now, Lord, and as we go into these next couple of weeks, give us the strength and the energy that we need. For those of us who are able to get a rest from the usual grind of life, Lord, we pray that it will be a truly restful and peaceful time. And for those that don't, Lord, who have got to carry on working and crack on like normal, we pray that you will strengthen them and that they will have peace and joy in their heart also. So, Lord, we thank you that you are the provider of all good things. Help us keep our eyes on the giver, not the gift. And, Lord, you will be glorified. So, thank you, Lord, for who you are, for the love that you show to us. And we praise you for it. We ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before John comes to preach, we've got another song to sing from The Squalor of a Borrowed Stable. And we've got those lines in there, by the Spirit and a virgin's faith. And that's what we'll hear more about after the song. So do stand when the music starts.
So a slightly different theme as we approach this evening's service. So as a Bible-based church, we believe in the Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. In line with Matthew 28, when somebody is baptised, they're baptised in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Or as the song goes, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And when it comes to Christmas, which persons do we think of? Well, as Luke's mentioned, we obviously think of the Son. The Word has become flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Wonderful theme of Christmas. We do too also think of the Father. 1 John 4, the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. But I suspect that most of us think less of the involvement of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we don't ever think of the involvement of the Holy Spirit. And yet the Holy Spirit is very much involved with the Christmas accounts, with the nativity accounts that we read of in the Bible. And so we're going to look at that theme this evening. It's something that's come to me this year, and I thought it'd be good to look at it this evening. We're going to look at the times when the Holy Spirit is directly mentioned in the nativity accounts, and hopefully we'll grow in our understanding, particularly in the first part, and then secondly we'll see the Spirit's role sort of shaping our approach to the season a bit more in the second part. So we're thinking first of the Holy Spirit and the baby. The Holy Spirit and the baby. It's often overlooked, isn't it? Perhaps you noticed as we read through, because you knew the title, and so you knew what Luke was reading was relevant, and perhaps you spotted things you didn't normally spot. But the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the birth of the baby Jesus. Or more accurately, in the conception of the baby Jesus. His beginning and formation in the womb, the start of his human life, the Holy Spirit is involved. And he's mentioned three times. Two times in what was said to Joseph. We saw in Matthew 1 that Mary was with child from the Holy Spirit. A couple of verses later, when Joseph's told not to worry, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And at a slightly earlier stage, when the angel speaks to Mary, and she's told what to expect, and she's a little puzzled, and the angel says to her, Luke 1 verse 35, the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And thinking through those references to the work of the Holy Spirit, and some of the connections in those verses, what does it make us think of? Well, it made me think of three things that are sort of connected with this. Firstly, the work of the Spirit is connected with the miraculous virgin birth, So the birth of Jesus had many natural aspects. It had a real mum. It was a real baby, grew in her womb. The birth, as far as we know, was normal. We sometimes have a slight reservation, don't we, about stinging away in a manger, because it talks about the baby, no crying he makes. And we think, well, is that true? Was there no crying? The Lord Jesus was a human baby that probably was crying. There was a lot of things that were natural and ordinary, if you like, but it was also supernatural. Conception was supernatural. It was a miracle. Joseph didn't sleep with Mary. How was it that she was pregnant? Was it, as some have talked about, parthenogenesis? In some species, there can be virgin births experienced. But that's for much more basic creatures. It's not something that happens in mammals, let alone humans. And in creatures, it normally involves in females being reproduced. Now, the virgin birth was a supernatural work of God. God, the Holy Spirit, was at work. It was what we couldn't normally do. As the angel said to Mary, for nothing is impossible with God. And we don't know how the human biology and the processes interacted with the work of the Holy Spirit, but it was a miraculous virgin birth, a miracle. As we think about the Holy Spirit's involvement in the conception of Jesus, another line of thought linked with it surely is that we have a sinless, holy child that is born. A sinless, holy child. So although the Messiah needed to come from a woman and be born from a woman, more of that on Christmas Day, a few days' time, the Messiah, God's Son, needed also to be sinless. He was going to be sacrificed on our behalf, so he had to be a sacrifice that was without blemish. And Mary was not sinless. Some Christian traditions claim that Mary was sinless, but there's no biblical basis for that. Her song rejoices in her Saviour. She needed a Saviour, even though she was the mother of the Saviour. And if Jesus had come from Mary and Joseph, he would have been tainted by what we call original sin. The chain needed to be broken, and the Holy Spirit's involvement in forming the baby Jesus meant he could be sinless. As the angel said to Mary, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. The third aspect to our understanding, I think is linked in with this, is God's saving plan. Now, the way in which the Holy Spirit's work is described in that 35th verse, does it remind you of anything? That sends your mind back. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Remind you of another important activity of the Holy Spirit? Well, I think it can take us back to the second verse of the Bible, right at the beginning. Genesis 1 and verse 2. I'll read verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. At the beginning of creation, as God was about to do his great work of creation, there was the overshadowing influence of the Holy Spirit present. And Luke seems to be mindful of going back a long way. You notice in the next chapter, chapter 3, where the genealogy goes all the way back to Adam. He's got a big picture in view, has Luke. And as if he's saying, as the first work of creation began with the overshadowing work of the Holy Spirit, so now with the coming of the Saviour into the world, it begins with the overshadowing work of the Holy Spirit. God's saving plan is happening. This is what's about to occur. Something big is happening in God's economy and time scales. God's saving plan is going to be enacted. The Saviour is going to be born. So that's more the sort of teachy part of what we're looking at this evening, the understanding part, the Holy Spirit and the baby. Maybe you've not thought along those lines before. But the involvement of the Holy Spirit also gets us to think about our response. So it gets you and I to think about how we should approach this season. And we'll find that out as we look at the other ways in which the Holy Spirit was involved in these sort of Christmas chapters, the Nativity chapters. And I'm hoping it might help you and I in these last few days as we build up to the Christmas season. There are three more occasions when the Holy Spirit is mentioned, and each time involving a different person, and each time I think it points us in the direction of an appropriate response to what the Lord is doing in sending his Son into the world. Perhaps you can think of the different involvements, the three different people for whom the Holy Spirit is seen as working in these Christmas accounts. The Holy Spirit and our response. The first is in Elizabeth. In Elizabeth. And the theme that's going to come out here is privilege. So after the angel's appearance to Mary, she heads off to the hills, doesn't she? She goes to see her older relative, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is described as being filled with the Spirit. And there's a couple of things that happen when they meet. The first thing is that Elizabeth's baby gives a joyful jump inside of her. And the second thing is that Elizabeth speaks into the situation as she's filled with the Spirit. And this is what she says, chapter 1 and verse 42. And she exclaimed, let's read the verse before. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Quite an encounter, wasn't it? Unusual, unique. But this woman, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, felt a sense of joy and a sense of privilege. Feel a sense of joy as you come towards Christmas. Feel a real sense of privilege. She felt amazed that the mother of her Lord should be with her and close to her. How is it that you could come to me? How is it that I could be so blessed as to be a person who experiences this wonderful privilege? She feels a sense of astonishment. How can it be given to me? How can I be this person? Mary felt something similar later on, and she expresses it in her song, the Magnificat. Verse 48, "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant, for behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed." And also, how come you were so privileged, Mary? How come you were picked out? How come God was so kind to you? And Christmas does this. The news at Christmas gives a sense of privilege. Sometimes maybe you feel that about a present you've been given. Does one come to mind? A present that you feel really privileged to get. Maybe because it was so big. Maybe because it was so unexpected. Maybe because it was somebody so important. And yet they sent you a card. Or they gave you a present. Or it was so much or so special. You feel a sense of, yeah, what did I do to deserve that? Isn't that how we should all feel at this time of the year as we think of the Saviour coming into the world, die on the cross, show mercy to people like us, to deal with our personal sin problem. You say, why me? How come? I don't deserve this. This is amazing. Just so privileged. Well, I think the Holy Spirit produces that sense of response still in people's hearts at this time of year. A second character who experienced the work of the Spirit in these accounts was Zechariah. And in Zechariah we especially have the attitude of praise. The attitude of praise. So Zechariah, he had 9 months of silence, didn't he? Couldn't speak for 9 months. And now this is going to break. And what's he going to say when he can speak at last after 9 months? Well, it says he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. So what he says is directly from God. It's a prophecy, it's declaring things. But notice also how it starts. This is Zechariah's song. Verse 67 of Luke 1, and his father, John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. So filled with the Holy Spirit, his first word is blessed, which means praised. It's Benedictus in Latin, hence it's called the Benedictus, the Magnificat for Mary. Her song starts like that. For Zechariah, it's Benedictus, blessed, praise be to God. This man, filled with the Holy Spirit, his first word after 9 months is blessed, praised be God. Praised be God, because he has visited and redeemed his people. And now maybe you're looking forward to some visits this next week or two. Maybe you're dreading some. Some visits perhaps are a bit awkward, a bit of a tense time. You have, perhaps you've seen those doormats, haven't you? All our guests bring pleasure, some by arriving, some by going. We dread some visits. But there's others we're so pleased to, we're looking forward to. So for me, 3 daughters coming home this next week. Wonderful, can't wait. Looking forward to have them back. They're visiting us. They're going to spend time with us. We're going to have their presence as it, with a C, and we'll have some presence with a TS as well perhaps. But we're even more pleased to have their presence with a CE at the end. And you've got visits that you're looking forward to, people that you're so pleased they're going to come into your life. Well, Zechariah praises God, for he has visited and redeemed his people. God has come. God has chosen to stoop to the earth. God has come with a saving purpose. God has come to rescue. God has come to redeem. And the thought of God visiting us is a reason for praise in this man who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Emmanuel, God with us. I don't know what your favourite Christmas song is or carol, your favourite expression of praise. There's quite a lot in the Christmas songs. We had the neighbours round on Friday, and we usually do a quiz. In the end, we ended up doing Dingbats, which has a song connection. But when I was looking through on the internet what quiz to do, one of them was sort of name that carol, you know, from a few clues. Well, if I were to give you some sort of phrases of praise, see if you can name the carol. See if you can remember where this expression sits, these expressions of praise. So, anyone, glory to the newborn king. Hark the herald. Come, let us adore him. come, all ye faithful. Glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. I think I've got this right. I didn't actually look this one up. Isn't it Wild Shepherds? What about this one? Bow down and worship, for this is your God. It's a newer one. Meekness and majesty. And this one. We don't sing this one quite so much. It fits in well. Saved by his love, incessant we shall sing eternal praise to heaven's eternal King. Christians awake. And see how all of those five phrases are phrases of praises. Glory to the newborn King. Come, let us adore him. Glory be to God on high. Bow down and worship. Eternal praise to heaven's eternal King. And that's good. And that's in line with Zechariah, when he was filled with the Spirit, and his response was of praise. A good response in our hearts at this season. The last one. Last one? One more person. Thinking of Simeon. In Simeon. And here the theme, amongst other things, is peace. The Holy Spirit is mentioned three times in the account of Simeon. It says in verse 25, Luke 2, the Holy Spirit was upon him. It says in verse 26 that the Spirit had revealed things to him about the coming child. And then he comes into the temple. And how does he come into the temple? Which door does he come in? Who does he come in with? How does he walk? This older man, is he walking quickly? What is he wearing? Well, we're not told. We don't know any of those things. How did he come into the temple? And he came in the Spirit into the temple. Came in the Spirit into the temple. It's a bit like in Revelation when John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, just note that actually. This isn't the temple. This is a church building, which is a lovely building, very convenient for us. It's not the temple. But when we gather together as the people of God, we gather like the temple. And we may come here different ways. Some of you drive, a few walk. Some of you just like a deer, you get quickly up the car park. Others you, it takes your breath away. Some of you comes in jeans, others have got other clothes on. All sorts of variety. But perhaps the key thing for us to really think about is, do we come in the Spirit? Do we come with God's Spirit at work in us, giving us an appetite, a thirst, a God-centeredness? Well, he came in the Spirit into the temple. And then how did he feel when he saw the Lord Jesus? Well, he felt a sense of praise because he blessed God, a bit like Zechariah did. But he also felt peace. He felt peace. Verses 29 and 30. Blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. This man in the Spirit, at the arrival of Jesus, felt peace. Does Christmas make you feel peace? Well, you might say, well, hardly. I've got some, you know, how much I've got to do in these last two or three days. Or you may say, well, you ought to see our family party. There's just sort of kids shouting and there's teenagers arguing and there's this tension until it finishes. Well, I mean more in your heart, in terms of your situation before God, does Christmas make you appreciate a sense of peace? In terms of facing up to your mortality, Simeon is here facing up to his mortality, wasn't he? Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. He knew he was going to go soon, and he felt now at peace in the face of the end of his life. Do you find that what's happened at Christmas and what Christmas makes you think about gives you a sense of peace in the face of the end of your life? The coming of the Saviour gives peace. Jesus came to make peace through the cross. Everyone who puts their trust in Jesus as Saviour is justified by faith and has peace. If you haven't placed your trust in Jesus, that is a place where peace is found. It's a place to go to. And that peace makes you ready for the end of your life. One of the dingback songs that was on this neighbour's quiz was Last Christmas. Last Christmas. It's a well-known song, isn't it? I think it's top of the chart. I don't follow the charts, but it's top of the charts again this year, isn't it? Wham's Last Christmas. Well, let's take that phrase slightly differently from the way it is in the song, Last Christmas. You know, there is going to be a last Christmas for everyone. For some of the people that have entered this building today, maybe none, but maybe not many, but it's probably be a last Christmas for them. This will be their last Christmas. Because we're mortal, we pass, our lives are short. And if this was your last Christmas, your last turkey Christmas dinner on Wednesday, are you at peace with that? Simeon was, because he got a saviour, and he was ready to go. And if your trust is in Jesus, and this is your last Christmas, you're ready to go. Like Simeon, you can depart in peace. Wonderful position to be in. And it's the sort of attitude and approach that happens, the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It'd be wonderful if all of you in that position of feeling safe and sure if this was your last Christmas. It's to Jesus you need to go to if you don't feel that's the case. And so we see the Holy Spirit at work producing these responses. We sometimes talk about the spirit of Christmas, don't we? And it's quite a nice phrase, and we're usually thinking of somebody being kind, Christmas spirit, or generous, or jolly. But the spirit of Christmas, in terms of an attitude especially produced by the Holy Spirit, may include some of those things, but will include a sense of privilege and wonder. Will include a sense of praise and joy, will include a sense of peace and being safe in Christ. And all those three things are wonderful things to have. Well, we're going to sing together our last song. It's not particularly Christmassy, but it is to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul, bring the presence of the risen Lord to renew my heart. and make me whole. Let's sing our last song. Close in prayer in a minute, but while we're standing, I'll just leave a few moments for you to turn whatever's been helpful from God's word this evening into your own private, quiet, personal prayer. I shall pray in a moment. Oh Lord, we come in praise of Father, Son and Holy Spirit and of the work of all three persons, even in these nativity accounts that we have been thinking of this evening. We know that without the Holy Spirit and his work, there would be no Saviour and pattern of redemption. So we give praise to you, Triune God, for all that you have done in love, graciously, condescendingly, for our salvation. We pray that as he produced these attitudes in some of those nativity characters, so he may produce them in us at this time. Give us that sense of privilege. Give us that sense of praise. And give us that sense of peace, we pray. In the name of Jesus, Amen.